Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Where's February gone? What, Tuesday? Well, it's March already, right? And this Wednesday, we have Ash Wednesday. It's starting Lent. The season of Epiphany has gone so fast. And it's been a good season. A good season for me and hopefully for you too. In this crazy shifting world that we live in, it's good to have an anchor. It's good to be at church. It's good to worship. It's good to know that God's here. It's good to know you get strength to meet a very challenging times in our world. This season has given us opportunity to be with Jesus, to abide with Jesus, to get to know Jesus better. Start out with his baptism, River Jordan. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And then we saw him at the wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the wine ran out. And he told the servants to get the water, and he turned the water into a wonderful wine, just like he takes our lives and gives them vibrancy and beauty. And then after that, we saw how he took a fisherman. His vocation was to catch fish, and he made Simon Peter now a new vocation, a new call, a fisher of people. And then his sermon on the plain, where he would capture many of the teachings of Jesus, and we hear about the ones who sorrow now will dance with joy. And we also heard the strong commands of Jesus that to be a follower of his, we need his power, because we are to love even our enemies and to love others with no expectation of any recognition or anything in return or any gift, but to do it because God is love and God's in us. And as God's in us, we love in the power of God. We have been given a chance to hear, to know, to experience Jesus and receive glimpses of who he really is. To see very deeply. It's like our scripture was like a finger pointing to the Lord. But we don't focus on the finger. We focus on where the finger points. And to know that he is there. And he loves you. And the Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see this and a heart to believe this, to really spend time with Jesus. And you see who he really is. You know, it's not so unusual for us. Maybe you spend days or weeks or months or even decades with somebody. And suddenly, you see them for who they really are. Maybe the image of likeness of God. Like sometimes I look at my wife, Joan, and I'll say, "Wow, she's married to me. I don't believe it. And she's still with me. And how beautiful she is." Or I imagine Terry this week, you look at Jim and say, "Thank you, Lord. This is very special to have this epiphany, this Jim in my life." And you see that. Or perhaps that beautiful rose that you still have in your vase from Valentine's Day. And it's a little pretty rose, but suddenly you see the rose and it kind of glows with an epiphany light and a transfiguration glory. And you say, "Ah, what a marvelous thing that is, this thing." Or you might witness your child playing, all of a sudden, wow, you see your child in a new light. Or hearing some words from Scripture for the first time, or a second time, or a third time. But it, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Wow. Or during a sermon, or singing a hymn, or you hear a melody, and suddenly your eyes are open to a new and radiant vision of life. An epiphany happens, a manifestation, and you see something or someone in a whole new light, kind of the way God sees us in nature. Maybe you've seen them 1,000 times, but at this moment, you see that person as if for the first time. You go, "Wow. Isn't life amazing? Isn't that person amazing as a unique human being made, as Bible tells us, in the image and likeness of God?" The amazing worth of every human being and every creature because God made us and God made them. Well, for 3 years, the apostles were with Jesus. They saw his miracles of love and his marvelous teachings, and they saw him eat and they saw him sleep and they saw him pray, and they hung out with him, and they kind of start knowing Jesus. And while they were praying, did you hear that today? Prayer helps you see deeper than just a normal way of seeing or normal way of hearing. They were praying with him, and they received a blessing, an epiphany of this man was not only a man of God, he was God. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And they see something they can only see as the result of prayer, of deep meditation, of abiding with God and Jesus, of paying attention to God and Jesus, to be in awe of God and Jesus, amazement. And all the glory he had thus kept secret, all the glory that was out, the dazzling brightness, brighter than 1,000 suns. And a moment of divine enlightenment came upon Peter and James and John. And impulsive Peter, he didn't know what to do with this. He was out of control. It was just so amazing. So he wanted to do something. So he said, well, okay, well, let me do something. Let me build 3 dwellings to keep this experience. But Peter, he experienced it, but he didn't understand. You see, a big part of life with God is just being with God, hanging out with God, listening to God, receiving God, abiding with God, to take in the gift that is given, to let that gift percolate, to experience that gift, to know that this is not just words from the Bible or some preacher in the pulpit, but you are made in the image and likeness of God. You are the light of the world. To let that sink into your soul, let it percolate. And then at the right time, let that energy, that light, motivate you then to act. Like Mary. Remember Mary, when the angel came to Mary and all these wonderful things happened, what did Mary do? She pondered these things in her heart. And she needed that strength. You know, Joan and I were fortunate that at the Synod Assembly a few years ago, Tony Campala, one of my favorite pastors, was preaching there, and he led a study, a seminar. And he talked about one of his spiritual disciplines that he does. First thing in the morning when he prays, before he gets out of bed, and he visualizes the Holy Spirit, the light of God, coming into him, into his brain, to enlighten his brain, and to enlighten his eyes and his ears, into his neck, into his arms, and his chest, and all the way down to his legs and feet, and that he's filled with this light of God. And then in that way, being strengthened by this Holy Spirit, then to let that light shine in his day to all the people that he meets. Peter still had to learn this. And what happened next was a repeat. See, it's not like you read the Bible and you're done with it, or you haven't experienced it. You meditate on it and reflect upon it and let it percolate in you. Because again, we heard today, Jesus said on the mountain, the same thing he said at Jesus' baptism, God said, "This is my beloved, my chosen, listen to him." And the cloud came upon him, just like we read in the Old Testament reading today that Terry read. The light, and then you remember Moses came down the mountain and his face glowed. They had to put a veil over Moses' face because when he was in the sight and the glory of God, the Shekinah, he glowed with God's glory. What Peter needed to do was to be more like Mary and ponder this wonderful, miraculous, irrational, amazing thing in his heart. But he wasn't there yet. He forgot what the psalmist tells us, to be in front of God and to be still and know God's presence, to practice that presence in your life. Be still and know that God is God. To take in the gift, the glory, the transfiguration, instead of wanting to force the experience or run away from the experience or be afraid you'll lose the experience. He wanted to control the experience. He didn't know that God was with him at all times. St. Paul tells us it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Every breath we take is because God's doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with us and having our heartbeat every moment until our heart stops in this life and our breathing, and then we start taking our breath of eternal life. That life will never end in Jesus Christ. Ernest Hemingway wrote once an article he called The Movable Feast by Ernest Hemingway. And it was about the author's, Hemingway's early days they spent in Paris with all the creative artists and writers and all the psychologists and all the people that were learning new things in Paris at that time. In a letter to a friend, Hemingway wrote, "If you are lucky enough to have lived in Paris as a young man, then wherever you go for the rest of your life, it stays with you. For Paris is a movable feast." Peter was still to discover that God was a movable feast, that the experiences of God, the feelings of God, will go with you all the time. Just like today, as we're hearing God's word and singing the hymns and praying and having our annual meeting and all that. This is God's with us. And this movable feast that we're having here at St. Paul's will go with us all week long. This will be with us, this feast of victory for our God, the love of God. And we need this because the world is so dangerous and so different. And when you receive it, God makes it alive with you. And you know, like St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The transfiguration lives in you. You receive a movable feast today in the Holy Communion, and you leave to go back into the world to feast. Will travel with you, and it needs to. Because what happened to Jesus and the disciples? As soon as they had this experience and moved down the mountain into the real world, they met a father that was so distraught because his son was demon-possessed. And Jesus healed them and healed the boy. But remember, Jesus was a little upset because Jesus was trying to help his disciples see this movable, this spirit that Jesus had, they had too. What did John, when John's gospel, he said, that Jesus said to his disciples, "You will do the things that I do, and you will do greater things than these because I go to the Father, and I give you the Holy Spirit. I give you the glory of God in you, with you." Peter needed to discover that God went with him as he traveled down the mountain. He was not leaving God behind. You never leave God behind. Emmanuel, we sing in Advent, God is with us always. He was in us and ever shall be with them, even to the end of time and beyond. God will never leave you. The love of God is always with us in Christ, and nothing will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us. Peter was to find that people waited for him, people that needed him. They needed to see a transfiguration experience. They needed to know that life was worth living. They needed to know that perfect love casts out fear. They needed to see this, and Peter needed to. They're tired of words, 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 words. They wanted to see it in action. They wanted to see how it was lived out. They wanted to see people that are genuine and generous, who really loved and are true and made genuine and generous in the glory of the transfiguration and made a difference in the world as Jesus went with them down the mountain. Now, Jesus would always be with them. It's not so unusual in Christ. This should be an everyday experience for us, and it is. That's what we're doing today. We're going to look at how we are an Epiphany people, how we are a transfigured people, as we look at our annual meeting, our annual report. The glory that comes with us this year, that we met very difficult times with other churches in the whole world, this pandemic, but we still had our worship online. Thanks to John and thanks to Don. We gathered back together for Mother's Day. We came back to church by the glory of God. We had our Synod Assembly. The pandemic didn't stop that, and Zoom, and Dave was our good rep. We had the church's exterior with the iron railings and all that coming up, and people noticed, hey, you know, that St. Paul's Church, something's alive there. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's alive here in all of us. And in August, we had our wonderful picnic with all that good food, and it was sunny and beautiful. We had our animal blessing. We had our Oktoberfest, and Martin Luther, even in the pandemic, he came all the way here from the fatherland to be with us. Well, actually, he came from heaven to be with us. And Christmas Eve service, that was so beautiful. We still had that even now. And we have so much here to celebrate. The glory of God shines so brightly at St. Paul's. Each of you in your own ways are an epiphany of God. And you know, you look at my report and the reports that we're going to read about in a few moments. But I'd like to thank all of you for that. I mean, you know, the flowers, the altar, our communion cups set up like little soldiers out there when we come in. I mean, for our council president, Doreen, this has not been an easy year to be council or be a church leader. And Doreen deserves a lot of credit for that. And our secretary, Dara, I mean, keeping us informed. And wait till you see our new directory. It's going to have your pictures there. If you don't have your pictures, she'll, not today, though, but you'll take them, right? You'll take the pictures, yeah, and put the pictures. So when you see a name, you can see a picture and say, oh, that's who that is. I've been sitting next to that person for 10 years. I didn't know who that is. You'll know their name. Our financial secretary, Janet, she's a movable piece, too. She sits here. Now she's back there. she keeps our financial records. And Nicholas, oh, we love you, Nicholas, keeping our budget going here. And, you know, another epiphany, the hardworking members and Terry, I mean, without Terry, that we wouldn't have our stuff online with John. She takes that. And Jim, he thinks he's open to be our new vice president of council. But we'll see. We'll see what you know. You're in charge. Your vote today. What that does. But we have that. And we thanks to some of our absentee council members that can't be here in person, but like Lisa Elsher and John Hutton and Shirley Ross, and they can't be present, but their prayers are still with us. And Don, what is this guy, huh? Aren't we blessed to have this guy? I mean, you know, what a voice. What music. I mean, it's so beautiful. And then our newsletter, I mean, he said he'll take it. It's beautiful. It's an epiphany here. And even in the midst of pandemic, we had two young men. We had Christian and Grant Brower confirm their faith in Jesus Christ, young men that are now following the faith. And we are so blessed in many ways, outstanding young men. As I said in my newsletter article, I do believe that our children and grandchildren will look back on these years of pandemic and stress and war, and they will thank God for your faith and your hope and your love in very, very stressful, anxious, and difficult times. We still have faith in the Lord. God would be proud that we did not grow weary about doing good in Christ's name. The glory of God. Transfiguration still happens in you, Christians, in you, in us. So we share and we see his glory and we look for the glory of God in all people. It's easy to find fault, but like Martin Luther said in the Eighth Commandment, say what's good, interpret everything in the best possible light. Not because we're being Pollyannish or just feel good, but because that person is made in the image and likeness of God. And to see all people that way, even your enemies. And all that we do in his name. And that way people are going to say, you Christians, look how you love. It's so different. Tell me about your life. I'm hungry for what you have. And then you can say, let me tell you about Jesus who glowed on the mountain. And God said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And you will be changed, and their lives will be transfigured. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.